This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Waldo Jakewith joins us live in studio of waldo.net and now the web editor at the Virginia Quarterly Review, online at vqr.com, right, or .org?
vqronline.org.
vqronline.org. Award-winning literary magazine produced right here in Charlottesville at the University of Virginia. Probably the sweetest address of anybody, unless you work at the Rotunda. Your office is right there on West Range, which is pretty sweet, I think.
It's great, yeah.
Waldo joins us in studio, talk about a bunch of different things, and we'll start with RichmondSunlight.com now in its second season, right?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And arguably the premier legislative tracking website in America, certainly for any state government. Remind us, Waldo, what is Richmond Sunlight and how it came to be the stellar thing that it is?
Sure. The General Assembly has a website at the awkwardly titled ledge1.state.va.us, an address that doesn't really invite visitors. In fact, if you Google for Virginia General Assembly, I don't even think it comes up on the first page of results. They get a lot of traffic. They promote that, but I don't know how people find the site. But it lets you keep up with, you know, legislators and the bills they've introduced and that sort of thing. But it's pretty limited in some regards. There are ways in which it could be a lot better website. So a few years ago, in fact, I came on your show to announce it. I'd set up a service where people could subscribe to bills by legislators and get what's known as an RSS feed. And I won't even explain what that is. But an RSS feed required a special piece of software to keep up automatically with what their legislators were doing. And on this show, for instance, I spent half my time explaining what an RSS feed was.
Which stands for really simple syndication.
Yeah.
And it basically means that you don't have to go to the website to get the information. It'll automatically come to you as soon as it's posted.
Yeah, great technology, but I had a heck of a time explaining it to my mother, for instance. And so after coming on this show and spending so much time explaining, I realized, well, this is neat, but wouldn't it be better if I just made a competing website for the General Assemblies? So by the next year's session, which was started a year ago last week, I'd taken the same concept of scraping data from the General Assembly's website, repurposing it, turning it into graphs and charts and, you know, into a more useful format than the bland, you know, party like it's 1989 website. Not that there was the web. And if there was a web in 89, it would look very much like the General Assembly's website does. And put it all in one place and just. I needed a name, and I came up with Richmond Sunshine, and my wife said that sounded like a Chinese laundromat. So with Richmond Sunlight instead, using the common metaphor for government needing more sunlight. And the idea behind it is it takes that same data, but it allows anybody to vote. Anybody visiting the website can vote whether or not a given bill ought to pass or not. They can post a comment explaining why they're for or against a bill and making recommendations to how it could be improved. It's like a mashup between a blog and a General Assembly website.
And you can go on to RichmondSunlight.com. You can look for your legislator like Rob Bell or Cree Deet or David Toscano, mm-hmm. and you can see all the bills that they have proposed. Mm-hmm. You can read those bills. You can comment on those bills. Then you can sort of subscribe to it and say, you know, Richmond Sunlight, keep me posted about this bill. I'd like to know more about this. So why don't you send me an email or alert me when this bill gets killed or this bill gets approved? I'd like to know about this.
And we have a new feature where you can be emailed if you'd like whenever updates like that happen. Also, for any legislator, you can see recent mentions of them in the news. Any media outlet mentions them. It's listed there. Any blogger has mentioned them. That blog entry is listed. You can see all the comments for a legislator. You can see, on balance, do more people favor or oppose their bills? You can see their complete voting record. And that, incidentally, the complete voting record, that data is made available on the General Assembly's website. But this is a good example of why sometimes private enterprise can do better. I'm a Democrat, but I'm a libertarian Democrat, and this is where it comes out. General Assembly's website, if you want to see how a legislator has voted in the prior session, you have to go to every single bill that they voted on and see how they voted on that. You can't just go to a legislator's page and see how they voted on everything. That is, you have to look by bill, not by legislator. So all we do on Richmond Sunlight is I take that data and just repurpose it in a different direction. That's it.
Yeah. So you can actually look by legislator.
Yeah, that's it.
You can also look at bills by topic. Like, I'd like to see every bill that's been proposed this year that has something to do with education or healthcare or crime or the Chesapeake Bay or whatever.
And we let anybody assign bills to topics. Anybody who comes to the website can say, I think this bill fits in these three categories, and what's known as tagging a bill. And it's completely user-generated, and the result is just brilliant. Yeah. It makes it so much easier to find legislation.
Now, we're also seeing, we're talking with Waldo Jaquith, who brought us RichmondSunlight.com, SevilleNews.com. He's at Waldo.net and the web editor at the Virginia Quarterly Review. We're also seeing legislators now using Richmond Sunlight on their websites, which is very cool.
It's great.
And as a developer, yeah. as a programmer, that's sort of what you hope for. Is that you're going to create something that people are going to go, wow, I can really use that.
Yeah, you know, there are a couple of goals with this website with regard to interacting with legislators. The first is we want them not just to tout their key bills on their website, but if they can just generate, using the technology we've given them, an automatic listing of what's going on with all their legislation and put that on their website, I think that's a powerful tool for Sunlight, for their own constituents to find out what's going on. The other hand, something we're trying to do is to encourage legislators to comment on their own bills. Legislators introduce bills. And I got to say, probably 1 in 10 bills I read and I think, I do not know what this guy is thinking. I have no clue of why he would what is he thinking? And they don't have to provide a rationale, so they can introduce some real jackassery in the General Assembly. But sometimes, if they just had a chance to explain, like if you ask them, if you get to corner one of these guys and say, why did you introduce this? There can be a compelling story. So we're trying to encourage them, as they've started to do now, to comment on their own bills and explain what their rationale was behind it.
Yeah. Or they'll just say, well, somebody gave me that.
I'm amazed.
Somebody asked. Don't you hear that a lot?
Easily
somebody
asked half me of the time. At least half the time I ask, what is with this bill? It doesn't make any sense. They say, yeah, one of my constituents asked me to carry it. I don't know. And they'll go before a committee to defend, you know, when their bill comes up before a committee and they stand up before the committee. And what they'll tell the committee is, well, this bill, I introduced it because I don't know. Somebody asked me to. I can't defend it. And the bill fails. But then that person can go back to that constituent and say, well, you know, I did my best. It didn't pass.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not impressive.
But I put it in there for you.
Yep.
Interesting. Yep. So RichmondSunlight.com now in its second session. And if you haven't spent any time with it, dear listener, and you're interested in Virginia government or any of these issues that are dealt with by our state government, you're going to want to spend some time at RichmondSunlight.com. It is absolutely amazing. And there's also like a professional edition, right, that you can actually buy that has all sorts of bells and whistles that lobbyists would like?
Well, there's a feature that the state's, you know, the official state General Assembly website provides called Lobbyist in a Box. They charge $600 a year for that lets you track legislation. So you can put together, you can list like, you know, the 100 bills or the 10 bills or the 2 bills you're interested in. And so when you go to the General Assembly's website, it only tells you what's going on with those. And it's great because there's 3,000 bills introduced every year and at least a third of them are just stupid. Like they're commendations saying how swell somebody is. So if you can filter down just what you're interested, that's helpful. So we decided to do the same thing and just give it away. So we call that photosynthesis. I couldn't think of a better name, you know, turning sunlight into energy.
That's yeah. Where it comes from.
So anybody can sign up for that. And we've had, I think, about 300 people maybe now sign up since we introduced that about a week and a half ago. People love that because they can track legislation. What we're also about to do is introduce a paid version with a whole bunch more features. And that's really meant for lobbyists. Folks like you and me, ironically, probably wouldn't want to sign up
for
it.
Yeah, yeah.
And we you know, just get a few dozen customers.
Well, people whose job it is literally to track this stuff, go to the assembly every day, talk to the legislators.
Yeah, yeah. I think it'd be a little overwhelming for most users for all the detail it offers.
We're talking with Waldo Jaquith about RichmondSunlight.com. And let me ask you about some of the things that are on RichmondSunlight.com.
Yeah.
Some of the issues that have come before the General Assembly. I noticed
there have been some humdingers.
There is, speaking of humdingers, there is some legislation that Lionel Spruill has introduced, a Democrat from Chesapeake, that would prohibit truck balls or truck nuts. And I didn't even know these things existed. There's things you hang from your. Well, tell us what they are, Waldo.
Oh man, make me do it. Okay, how delicately can I phrase this? For a certain demographic, which Delegate Lionel Spruill delicately described as rednecks, he's getting in some trouble for that, there are these devices, maybe the size of a tennis ball, that can be hung from a trailer hitch, generally on the back of a pickup, that looks like a scrotum. Looks like a scrotum. And they come in all different colors, and you can get shiny metal ones if you want. And, you know, a lot of people seem to be compensating with their vehicles, and I think these people are, they're just putting it out there, saying, yes, I am compensating. And Delegate Lionel Spruill from down in, I think down to Chesapeake, He doesn't like these. And his solution is to ban them because his daughter asked him what one was. And rather than explaining, you know, it's just a decoration for a car, depending on the age of his daughter, he might have wanted to say, well, you know, let me tell you about anatomy. Instead, he wants to make them illegal.
He's proposing legislation in the state government to say that it would be illegal to hang these things from your car.
Well, my favorite comment about this on
not
on
a
Richmond,
state car, but
no, anybody's car. My favorite comment about this on Richmond site so far was somebody who said yesterday, said, well, you know, Delegate Sproul might want to get to work here because it turns out all over the state you can actually drive by actual animals with honest to God scrotums hanging off of them. Just where anybody can see them. Cows, horses, right by the road. Somebody's got to do something.
What are they thinking?
Now, what's ironic, though, is you might remember a few years ago, there was what known as the Droopy Drawers Bill.
2005,
make it illegal to low-ride your pants. And one of the real opponents of that bill was Delegate Lionel Sproul, who I hope I'm pronouncing his last name right, by the way, who said this was an infringement on freedom of expression. And, well, it might be viewed as obscene by some. It should be legal. And I'm thinking, why doesn't he apply the same logic here?
Yeah, interesting.
I don't get it. And these guys are both Democrats, by the way. As a Democrat, I feel particularly comfortable pillorying them for their stupid bills.
Waldo Jaquith of Waldo.net, and also he's a graduate of the Sorensen Institute for Political Leadership, Political Leaders Program, class of 2005. You also brought us CivilNews.com, where local folks like me, I check it out maybe multiple times every single day to find out what's going on and what's the conversation about local news and local issues. What was your take on the Jerry Mitchell's incident? Oh. Really a tragedy. The county police officer who hit Jerry Mitchell in a wheelchair, in a crosswalk, and Jerry Mitchell was the guy who got the ticket. And to this day, the county police officer has never issued any kind of a public apology, and he's never even gotten any kind of ticket or anything.
The whole thing has been so cringe-inducing. I first met Jerry 5 or 6 years ago on part of his activism on behalf of folks who are living in long-term housing for those who are dying. He's you could not ask for a worst guy to run into as a police officer. There's not a more sympathetic character. There is nothing sordid about him. Nothing to say, well, he could have been drunk. I mean, there's nothing you could say. He's a wonderful, genuine, caring man with so many connections in the community. I got to say, I feel for the police officer, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Because obviously he can't, without permission of his department, come forward and say, I feel terrible. I feel so bad. And if you run into a guy with a wheelchair, there's no getting around that. You got to feel just like a world-class chump. But the police departments of Charlottesville and Albemarle both have handled this pretty badly. And nobody on that side of things comes off looking good here. And I don't know where it's going to end.
Yeah. And of course, a lot of people talking about it on CivilNews.com. It's a horrible situation. And
yeah.
There's so many things that I'm so proud of about this community in Central Virginia. That's not one of them. It's just, I look at that and I sort of, oh gosh, we could have handled that better. And we still, there's things that they can do now to do it, handle it better. And they're just not doing it.
Well, one of the arguments made against Jerry here is that he says he was crossing with the light. The police officer says he was crossing when he wasn't supposed to walk. And community pedestrian activist guy who appears on The Hook way too much, as do I, Kevin Cox, had a great letter to The Hook this week in which he'd said that so often in the city, when you're turning left in a car, you're driving across a crosswalk where people are being told they can walk. Whenever I have a walk sign, always, you know, to the side of me is a car that's allowed to turn right into me then.
Yeah.
So regardless of what the light said, this is bound to happen again.
Yeah.
It's a bad arrangement.
Yeah, it is. And it's like Allison was telling me the other day, clearly mistakes were made on both sides.
Oh, yeah.
But the fact that the big fact at the end of the day is that they gave him a ticket when he was in the emergency room.
And it was terrible.
They didn't give the driver of the car a ticket, whether you're a police officer or Ma Jones. I don't care. You bear some responsibility for what happened.
It is quite literally adding insult to injury here. Well, what I hope, if nothing else comes out of this, I hope that we're able to see some significant changes in law and in police protocol for addressing this sort of a thing so that Jerry is able to say, this is a very bad experience, but these good things came out of it, and I know this won't happen to anybody again.
Waldo Jaquith, the web editor at the Virginia Quarterly Review. It's online at VQROnline.com.
.org.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
VQR. VQR. RichmondSunlight.online.org. And he also brought us RichmondSunlight.com and SevilleNews.com. Waldo, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.